From the front lines of the war in Ukraine to a sharp rise in killings in Latin America, 2022 was another deadly year for journalists. And Al Jazeera was not untouched. Our own correspondent, Shireen Abu Akleh, was shot dead by the Israeli army while on assignment in the occupied West Bank in May. Worldwide, at least 67 journalists and media workers were killed last year, the highest number since 2018, and an almost 50% increase over 2021. More than half of the killings occurred in just three countries, Ukraine, Mexico and Haiti. Each reported their highest number of journalist deaths ever. 18 of those killed were local reporters who were murdered in retaliation for their work covering politics, crime and corruption. Our correspondents now have this report from some of the toughest places for journalists to operate.
...2022 was a deadly year for journalists around the world, covering war, conflicts, but also reporting on politics and corruption. We've seen journalists targeted for simply doing their jobs.
Well, Ukraine is a dangerous place for journalists. They're often covering stories very close to fighting or the front lines. But what we've seen in this war since February 2022 is attacks can happen anywhere and at any time. Now, at least 15 journalists were killed in Ukraine since the war began in February. Amongst them, an American, a Lithuanian, a Frenchman, but also Ukrainians. Most were killed in the first months of the war, but many others have also been injured or even targeted in the course of their work.
In Latin America, media workers are facing daily challenges. Last year, British journalist Dom Phillips was murdered in the Brazilian Amazon.
In 2022, here in Mexico, more journalists were killed than any other country, bar Ukraine. The Committee to Protect Journalists says that 13 in total died. That's more than they've ever recorded in Mexico. What are the reasons for that? Well, as you would expect, the cartels and the gangs that are very powerful in parts of this country are attacking and threatening journalists, but also authorities. A federal government stat says that 40% of the threats and attacks against journalists actually came from officials. A lot of times, those are local ones. It's local journalists here in the hinterlands of the country that are most affected by this.
Journalists have been under attack. Over the last decade, we've seen press freedom regress. In the Philippines, we've now sunk to at the press freedom index. We're 147 out of 180 countries around the world.
Last year, radio and online commentator Percival Mabasa was gunned down inside a gated village. Investigation revealed that the former prison's chief of the Philippines, Gerald Bantag, was the mastermind. But it's not just the killings. ABS-CBN, the country's largest news network, still cannot broadcast on free-to-air TV. There is hope, however. Maria Ressa, the Nobel Prize-winning journalist, she's been cleared of tax evasion charges, though she still faces several cases in court, and her news outlet, Rappler, still is in danger of closure.
Israeli forces targeted and shot Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh while she was on assignment in Jenin. She was a household name, a veteran journalist whose colleagues looked up to. And for that, for her killing to go without accountability, even though she was killed in front of the camera, just gives you an idea how difficult it is and how high the price is for journalists in Palestine. Just last year, 117 journalists were subjected to attacks by Israeli military, according to the Palestinian Journalists Syndicate. And 2023 doesn't look any better.
Let's bring in Jody Ginsberg, who's president of the Committee to Protect Journalists, joins us now from New York. And Jody, another grim year indeed, 67 journalists killed. What conclusions do you draw from the data gathered?
What we can see is essentially the tip of the iceberg. The killing of a journalist is the worst thing that you could possibly imagine, and it's indicative, I think, of the sharply deteriorating environment for journalism more generally. We saw a 50% increase in journalists killed. We're also seeing a sharp uptick, record number of journalists imprisoned, journalists threatened. Everywhere around the world, not just Mexico, Ukraine, places where we saw high levels of killings, journalists are under threat.
And is the trend, would you say, overall, is it up over past years?
Yes, the trend is in terms of press freedom declining and the trend in threats against journalists are growing. We're seeing growing numbers of journalists intimidated online, particularly women journalists, and that often leads, those threats online often lead to physical violence offline and then potentially imprisonment and, at the very worst, killings.
Some journalists were killed doing their jobs directly in war zones, others victims of targeted killings, including our own Shireen Abu Akla. What does the kind of story that journalists are covering when they're killed tell us about the trend and what's happening?
It's really interesting. So, as you say, the highest number of journalists killed last year were in Ukraine, 15 journalists killed in Ukraine. You expect covering a war zone to be a dangerous assignment. But what's really stark about these numbers is more than half the journalists killed were not, the majority of journalists killed were not covering war. They were operating in nominally countries that are nominally at peace. They're not in conflict, but increased lawlessness, threats by government officials, and a culture of impunity where these killings go unpunished is all part of the pattern. And often these journalists are local journalists. They're covering local affairs. And what happens, of course, when they're not covering those is there is no information going out to those local communities about all sorts of things, political corruption, business, about healthcare, about the environment. That's what happens when you effectively silence the journalist population in a small community.
Right. And more than half the killings, I think I'm right in saying, occurred in just three countries.
That's right. So 15 killings in Ukraine, 13 in Mexico and 7 in Haiti. Latin America is particularly alarming to us. We've seen increased lawlessness across the region. Journalists trying to cover that lawlessness are, of course, incredibly vulnerable. They're vulnerable covering political protests. They're vulnerable covering political corruption and collusion. And all too often we see a failure by local authorities, often because they're implicated in that very corruption, to address and keep safe those journalists or tackle their murderers and bring them to account.
Jodie, for you personally, as president of the Committee to Protect Journalists, this must be pretty depressing. This is an annual report. It certainly focuses the mind, but all it does is reveal this terrible trend that we've been talking about. And does it really make any difference in the end?
You're right, it is depressing. I'm a journalist and I never thought when I started as a journalist that I would be witnessing journalists killed for covering politics in large capital metropolitan cities or being threatened for doing their jobs. I think what gives me hope is increasingly I think people are beginning to understand the value that journalists bring and the importance of journalism to society as a whole. I think there are things that we can do. We're working really hard to ensure that there are effective mechanisms to protect journalists. There's a federal mechanism in Mexico. We think more could be done to strengthen that with resources to effectively protect journalists. So though it is a depressing picture, I think there is hope for change and improvement.
All right, Jodie, important work, an important report indeed. Jodie Ginsberg from the Committee to Protect Journalists. Thank you.